Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. In this week's Enlighten Me, we return to WMPH and Mount Pleasant High School in the Brandywine School District, one of the two schools we've partnered with on our Generation Voice Youth Media Program. Students there and at our other partner, WMHS, at McCain High School in the Red Clay School District, produce a bevy of interviews and projects on a variety of topics throughout the year. And from time to time, we'd like to highlight some of that work right here on The Green. This week, we share with you a pair of thoughtful features produced at Mount Pleasant's WMPH. The first is from junior Sean Coulter. The CDC reports that cigarette usage among middle and high schoolers has decreased in recent years, but e-cigarette usage has increased. So Sean delved into the danger presented by a specific brand of e-cigarette, the Juul, which has gained popularity at high schools like Mount Pleasant.
The health risks of cigarettes are widely known throughout American society, thanks in part to education campaigns throughout the 1940s and 2000s.
Then she lights his cigarette and he's all set. Set with a lifestyle that could lead to a heart attack. Ask your heart association how to reduce your risk of heart attack.
Cigarettes are bullies. Don't let tobacco control you.
But now, there is a supposedly safer way to enjoy your nicotine, in the form of a device that looks like a USB drive. These small electronic vape tools are called Juuls. Mount Pleasant junior Aaliyah says she thinks they're safer than cigarettes.
Probably better in a way, because although it has all those chemicals and stuff, cigarettes can, kill you faster.
But how safe are they? According to the Truth Initiative, one Juul pod contains 20 cigarettes worth of nicotine, and a pod only lasts the average Juuler 2 to 4 days. Juuls contain more than twice the amount of nicotine as other e-cigarettes, according to HealthyChildren.org. Nicotine is a highly addictive substance and can be especially dangerous to developing youth. I talked to a professional, Dr. Mark Felizzi, to see how true these statements really were.
Mark Felizzi, I'm an associate professor in the School of Social Work at Millersville University. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Delaware, Pennsylvania, and Maryland, and I hold a PhD in social work. Juuls tend to have a higher rate of nicotine. As a matter of fact, Juul pod has enough nicotine in it, has the same amount of nicotine as 20 cigarettes. So when you're taking a hit on a Juul, you're basically sucking in 20 cigarettes or a pack of cigarettes worth of nicotine.
Just like Aaliyah, many youth believe that Juuls are a safer alternative to cigarettes because it contains less toxic chemicals when, in reality, they can be just as dangerous.
Well, if you look at the fact that cigarette smoking in this country has decreased largely in part to education efforts, I think that Juuls are marketed and Juuls are viewed as something that's less addictive and less dangerous than traditional smoking. It's not always the case because you're getting a more pure form of nicotine.
While some believe the only harm in Juuls is addiction, Juuls also affect a lot of bodily functions. Nicotine has been proven to be harmful to brain development as well as being a highly addictive substance.
It affects the lungs, it affects the heart, it affects circulation. But also, since the human brain really isn't fully developed until the age of 25, with teens, specifically middle and high school students, you're looking at nicotine potentially affecting brain development.
Some of the misconception among teens might come from the industry's advertising. A study verified in the 2016 Surgeon General's report, e-cigarette use among youth and young adults, showed that 95% of Juul advertisements made explicit or implicit health-related claims, and some ads even featured doctors. Nearly all of the ads characterize e-cigarettes as cleaner and cheaper than traditional cigarettes.
And the counter-argument to that is, well, you know, a cigarette has formaldehyde, it has tar in it, it has other properties, you know, so yeah, that's true, but also in cigarettes, which are not healthy, obviously, they have a less concentrated form of nicotine. So I do believe that a lot of people, and the way it's been marketed, especially to the youth segment, a lot of people are going to think, well, this is a lot safer than smoking cigarettes. It's not, but the perception is out there that it is a lot safer.
The study also showed a majority of the ads said Juuls help users stop smoking. And, according to the CDC, 7 out of 10 youth have seen ads for e-cigarettes or Juuls.
One of the issues was that it was marketed to this younger population, the flavors that they had used. So they'd used a lot of fruit-based flavors, and they had used a lot of flavors that they felt the youth market would enjoy.
The Truth Initiative reports that 43% of youth started vaping because of the appealing vapors that are advertised to them.
A Juul is like a vape. It fits in your pocket. It's like people use it, you know, a lot. supposed to be used, intended for, like, you know, people trying to quit smoking cigarettes.
That's Will, a Mount Pleasant student who says he has been juuling for a few months. He says he can already feel the addictive effects of the nicotine.
I did do it because I thought it was cool, but now I just do it because I have to.
And juuls have become common in schools like Mount Pleasant. Because they do not produce a strong odor, they are small and look like a flash drive, and the smoke dissipates quickly, it is almost too easy to sneak them into schools and smoke them without teachers noticing.
With juuling, it's like you could just go in the bathroom, go in the stall, and just, and a couple puffs might go up, but like no one's really going to notice it.
Will estimates that roughly half of the kids at Mount have juuls.
I'm pretty sure like you could walk down the hallway, and there will be 30 kids in front of you. 15 of them will probably have a juul, bro. At least half of them.
In regards to the prevalence of juuls among students, Dr. Felizzi said this.
Yeah, it's very prevalent. Juuls were introduced in 2015, and as of this fall, something like 36 million middle and high school students vape. Now, having done research, I would suggest that that's probably an underreported figure. I'll bet there's a lot more out there. So I would probably say that number could even be higher.
It's worse than cell phones. When you have to put up no vaping signs in the bathroom at school, you know there's a problem that needs to be taken care of ASAP.
Because of Juul's small size, students are able to bring it into schools almost undetected. Pair this with the quickly dissipating vapor, and students can be juuling, leaving everyone else none the wiser.
You know, I'm sure there are people in school today who could be vaping in class, and the teacher's not able to pick up on it.
The KBG at Mount Pleasant has historically worked to fight cigarette use among students. But last year, the group started focusing on juuls. Why the transition? Because cigarettes in youth and adults alike simply isn't as prevalent as it used to be, in large part due to education.
Smoking cigarettes now is not socially acceptable in any public place. And that took years of education. And I believe that's what you have to do in this case. I think people have to be educated about the addictive properties and the danger that vaping pure nicotine can cause, not only the human body, but the human brain.
Some anti-juul advertisements have begun circulating with hopes of reaching a teen audience and informing them about the dangers of juuling, while the FDA has begun banning juul flavors in an effort to reduce the appeal to youth. But is it enough? What other factors about juuls are harmful that the FDA may not be aware of or controlling?
As a matter of fact, juuls in this country have a higher rate of nicotine, higher concentration of nicotine than any other country.
One of the reasons behind this lack of regulations is that juuling is new, and it's something that the government did not expect to be so popular.
This caught the government by surprise. I don't think that they thought that this was going to be as prevalent or as popular as it is. And I think it really, the FDA even admitted it caught them by surprise.
E-cigarettes are new, and people are uninformed. And as time goes on, more and more information, such as this piece, will circulate and hopefully raise awareness to the dangerous aspect of juuling.
So people say to me, is tobacco addiction really something? Is nicotine addiction really? Yes. There is a tobacco use disorder, and it's characterized by folks who technically become addicted to nicotine.
Even Juul Labs warns on its website, if you don't smoke or vape, don't start.
Thanks to Junior Sean Coulter for his piece. Next, we hear from Senior Jada Thomas. She looked into the uncertain times faced by so-called dreamers, young people who were not born in the U.S. but brought here as children. She found some dreamers locally are watching the status of the Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, very closely.
I was born and raised in Venezuela.
It is going through its worst time in history. If I can give you an idea, it's kind of like you go to a supermarket and you're not going to find anything to eat. People are starving. People are dying. If you don't agree with the government and what they're doing, they will just kill you.
Valentina Maza is a senior at William Penn High School. She came to the United States in 2016 when she was only 14, leaving both of her parents behind in her home country. Valentina arrived in the United States too late to qualify for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. Valentina is currently applying to college. She dreams of studying political science and one day becoming a politician. But in the meantime, she worries her immigration status could hurt her chances of being accepted or her ability to pay for college.
There are many colleges that will not offer financial aid because they only receive federal funding.
Mount Pleasant counselor Iman Turner works with students of many different immigration statuses. He says students in programs like DACA can sometimes access funding.
Well, there were certain students, certain schools that if the student was in what they referenced as the citizenship process, if you could prove you were in the process, then like Delaware Technical Community College would give you the SEED scholarship because you would say, all right, I'm, you know, I've taken step one or two of the Dreamer Act to establish a permanent residency. But now it's like everyone is illegal.
Back in September of 2017, the news circulating around about DACA being rescinded came as a tragedy to many. Our nation erupted in protest, with DACA students demanding some type of action to be taken. In early 2018, a federal judge decided to halt the Trump administration's actions, buying some time for the program. This seemed like a win for some, but others were left out, as the program is no longer taking new applications. As of early 2019, the Supreme Court denied Trump's request to fast-track a decision on whether or not DACA shall remain.
The students don't have a pathway to citizenship right now. So it was always difficult. But now I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel any longer.
But Mr. Turner believes that no matter a student's immigration status, they deserve a right to education.
At the end of the day, if students were brought here illegally, that's not, they didn't have any control over that. And again, we want to have a great society, so we're going to do a great job educating that student.
Valentina's thoughts are similar.
As an immigrant, I can tell you that we come here because we are running away. We're running away off a really painful situation in our countries. And we're just trying to find a better life in the land that promises freedom. In my personal experience, freedom does not exist in Venezuela.
In the future, Valentina hopes to start her own nonprofit here in the U.S. to help spread the importance of education for immigrants like herself. She also hopes to make change in her home country, Venezuela.
Where I see myself in 10, well, not 10, like 20, 30 years is being in my country, helping my people and fix all the reasons that made us leave, and also giving back to the country that gave me so many opportunities, which is the United States.
Thanks to Senior Jada Thomas for her piece, and a reminder that these pieces are part of Generation Voice, our collaboration with the Brandywine School District at Mount Pleasant High School and its radio station WMPH. A reminder that these pieces are part of Generation Voice, our collaboration with the Brandywine School District at Mount Pleasant High School and its radio station WMPH, and the Red Clay School District at McCain High School and its radio station WMHS. Our youth media producer, Sophia Schmidt, oversees Generation Voice for us and worked on these pieces with teacher Paul Wishengrad, who runs the career pathway we work with at Mount Pleasant.